want to say welcome, 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 ladies, to and ladies and lovelies. Welcome to Life with the Girls Friends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. And Christine Marie, you're my mama, aren't you?
Yes, I am, girlfriend.
And I'm going to say happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And it's so great because today we're having a wonderful guest today. Her name is Chris Dines. And so I'm going to make sure I definitely call you Christine Marie. Sometimes I get a little informal and say, hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Hey, you over there.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, mama.
Hi, mama. How you doing over there?
But I'm really excited to have Chris on. You know, sometimes my heart just gets like open and fluttery, and I get that good feeling in the pit of my stomach. But you know, if Chris lived in Illinois here, outside of Chicago, we would be really sisters. You know, we would be, and we would be at the same drum circle for sure.
There you go. Well, you know, it's so interesting because I can't wait to get into our conversation with Chris. She is the founder of this wonderful website, Women of Wisdom Foundation. I shouldn't say website. It's a foundation. But they have a cool website, and, they're just amazing. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But in the second half hour, we're really going to talk about, I'm going to share some Mother's Day stories. I'm going to share some stories about you. Yes.
Uh-oh.
And I'll let it all hang out a little bit. And some a story about me and my non-traditional motherhood, I guess. I don't know. I have dogs. No. And just some fun stories ahead and so forth. But let's bring on Chris Dines right now.
Please,
Chris Dines, are you there?
Please.
Yes, I'm here, and I just wanted to check. Your name's Christine Marie, because that's my name, too.
Is it really? Oh, my gosh.
I just call me Chris, but my middle name is Christine Marie.
That's so cool. I just had this feeling that, you know, we should know each other, you know, and we probably do spiritually already, but, you know, we just, you know, I was reading on the womenofwisdom.org, some of the people that were at the conference, and like Starhawk, OMG, I have all her books, you know. Jean Shinoda Bolden, I've met her, talked to her. And you mentioned Dr. Pat. Well, I think she's on our station. I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure she is. And, of course, Jean Houston, the amazing. I've heard her speak several times. So, you know, I was just like, oh, my gosh. Why can't I live in Seattle? It'd be so awesome.
Well, you have to get away from your cold area of the state of the country and come to Seattle in February when we have these people come.
Yes. You bet. You can even ask Julie because when I retire, I want to retire to Washington State, but I have this little. I want to go to Whidbey Island. Have you heard of that in Washington?
Well, yes, of course.
I was going to say, Mom, of course
it's
you
just north Seattle. Of Seattle, and yeah, lovely place, yeah.
Mom has had her eye on that for a very long time,
yes.
Until the sinkhole appeared, or till the landslide appeared. And it's like, oh, wait a minute, maybe I need to be a little more cautious. I don't know.
Well, that's just on the coast of the island. There's many, many good places there.
Absolutely. See, Julie.
I know. So, Chris, you are the founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation. And, you know, I just want to say I love this concept because Women of Wisdom, which is wow, it gives voice to the feminine wisdom within all of us, transferring personal and collective consciousness through circle leadership, which I want to hear more about tonight.
Me too.
And community. Because so many times as women, especially now, we're really finding our leadership roles. They're coming in through our family more and more, and they're coming into our business world, and we're asked to be leaders in communities and so forth, and we're trying to model it after old ways sometimes, and they're just not working for us.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. And so I love this idea of the circle leadership. And it's like, wait a minute, what is that all about? I can't wait to hear more about that. But first of all, you also have a conference every year. And what inspired you to create the Women of Wisdom Conference?
Well, that came about actually just, I guess it'd be 22 years ago. I've been in a spiritual training and having lots of healings. And so just, you know, when you're doing healings, you're releasing a lot of the energetic things that kind of gather around you. And so in my healing process, I had this thought came through. But there were steps before that. So I had read the book, The Feminine Face of God,
mm-hmm.
by Patricia Riley and, I'm going to mix up their names. Sherry Anderson and Patricia, I'm forgetting her last name. Sorry. Anyway, it's The Feminine Face of God. And I loved, it was stories of women from different spiritual backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And I just loved the stories. And I was on the board at Seattle Unity Church, and we'd always had a Wednesday night speaker program there.
Mm-hmm.
And it just occurred to me in one of these very sharp, clear moments that, oh, we should bring women like these to Seattle. And maybe have a focus of that for, you know, a month. And then it just came in like, no, it needs to be a week-long conference and where we can create community.
Right.
And I just knew, just because of other things in my personal growth and different messages I got over the years, that it just resonated. And there was just no doubt in me. It was like, yeah, I need to do this. So I went to the ministers. They said, sure, go for it. And I brought together my women friends at the church, and we created... planned the first conference in 1993. It took 9 months to plan it.
And you birthed it.
Yeah, we birthed it. And we were just planning one conference, and we were creating the wheel. We put everything that we have still in place. I mean, it's evolved over the years, but everything we put in that first year is still with us. Mm-hmm. Creating safety for women to explore their personal growth and spiritual growth, and being inclusive, and a big aspect, not that we planned this, but it was a place that women could share their stories, which are very important.
Yeah.
I think not only just for women to be heard and witnessed, it's very healing. So the first night I stood up and welcomed people and said, welcome to the first annual, and that was the first indicator of, there's more to this than meets the eye. And it just has evolved. And this was the first year was like a Sunday through Saturday. It evolved to 9 days. And if you can imagine immersing yourself into, you know, the types of speakers that you were mentioning, Jean Houston,
yes.
Jean Bolin, Joan Borisenko, many great women, and particularly spiritual, but mind-body-spirit focus of coming to Seattle. But also our format was we made use of a lot of local women, because it's just in your areas. There's a lot of women who are very gifted, who do workshops and specialties. And so our conference that we set up from the very beginning, it's very experiential. Mm-hmm. All the workshops are at least 3 hours long. When we have a major speaker, they do a full day. So you can really immerse yourself into some topics. As opposed when you go to a weekend conference, you have an hour with to hear somebody, and you're in a room with 100 to 500 people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's created that space for women to really heal. And what also it created was community. And so what happens over the many years is the connections that women make. And coming and sharing your story, and what I found in the beginning, you know, first 5-10 years, that feeling that women were very isolated just a lot of wounding, and some people, it's just like, you know, if you have that shame and guilt and wounding, you don't talk about it. But if you hear other people tell their stories, it gives you permission too, and with that comes healing. And so it's just been really, really rich, a rich time. And after maybe 10 years or so, we're in our planning now our 22nd conference, so we've been at it many years, is we've created this vessel of women coming together and the safety and they just dive in. I mean, I've had presenters go, they've had to change their agenda, their plan for their workshop, because people, they didn't have to lead them into it. They're like jumping in. They're right there. Whether they're new people or old, there's just enough of a framework of people who've been around this for many years that everybody's just eager to go in and do this work. And so...
It's
a great place to be, and I know I get a lot of calls like, where's everyone like in my city? And someday we hope to be in some other cities, but that takes a lot of infrastructure and a lot of work, and that we don't have the ability to do. But
we started
live streaming.
So if you ever need somebody to put a Chicago one together,
and we do need that to make it happen. We have to have the contacts in those cities, you know, and some women's groups, and create that, because it has to come from that city. I mean, I can come in with, we've got the format, we've got the expertise, but you need that group of local women too to make it happen.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, here, you know, in Seattle in February, it's still decent weather. you know, for the most part.
It is.
You've got that hub there of that wonderful weather. February in Chicago, I'm not planning a conference.
No, you're right.
Well, we wouldn't do it in February in Chicago.
Yes, exactly. Maybe. You know what? October in Chicago or September
Yes, awesome.
Is beautiful.
Yeah.
and it would be great. But, you know, it really sounds like what you're doing is celebrating women's gifts. And with these longer sessions, you get to really go deeper with the participants and the people who are coming to the conference. You know, why is it, you know, why did you create this? So why is it so important for you for women to develop these great gifts and express their gifts?
Probably because I need to learn that lesson. You know, we teach what we need to learn.
So for sure.
Yeah. So it's been 20 years of realizing I needed to be a leader and bringing women's gifts forward and celebrating the divine feminine. And we're in this era now that we need to be stepping up. Women need to be stepping up to the plate and speaking out, being visible, getting over our fears of being visible. And, yes, we still have that glass ceiling. And I was just at we have a guy's temple here in Seattle, and he was talking about, you know, it's still a man's world. But, you know, it's changing, and we need to be there. And we need to be an example for all the young girls coming up that they know their voices are important.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very much
Absolutely.
So. And so what do you feel, you know, I can hear that you're like, it's important for us to be an example for the people coming up and so forth, for the women coming up. What is this idea of circle leadership, and how is it different than the models that you've been seeing? I'm sure when you are out there learning to be more of a leadership and stepping into it, you're like, wait a minute, what models are out there for me to really step into?
Mm-hmm.
And they all seem so masculine and hard and not what I can be, not my authentic self.
You know, it's interesting. I know you're asking, you know, Chris this, but I was just thinking when I was a young therapist, and this would probably be in the mid-80s, and we were, you know, doing some of this thing, and the nearest thing we could get was this sort of Quaker model, you know, of leadership, because we really hadn't come through with a strong feminine voice, and it was, you know, everybody was like top-down or military, you know, there's just this one voice that you have that, you know, like is barking orders. And so I'm curious to hear about how you developed the leadership stuff, Chris.
Well, it came about because we became our own organization in 1998, a nonprofit organization, and so then I was the executive director, and after 3, 4, 5 years of just being the one person that's on my shoulders, I didn't really like that. And I like the conference was always planned with a committee, women in a circle, and I just felt like there's some other way.
Mm-hmm.
And I always pictured it sort of a triad, like there's three of us that were working together, because I love to co-create, and that creative juices that you get when you're with other people. And I went away on a retreat myself up at Whistler, and I'm sitting by a river, and I look down. I have a necklace that's our logo, which is a circle. It has a center circle with three swirls that are represent mother, maiden, crone, and has women's symbols around the edges, but there's these seven arches within the outer circle that it's a symbol of Sophia. And I looked down and went, oh my God, it's in our logo.
Hmm.
That represented circle leadership. So you never know what you're creating. That was created 15 years before that. You know, so I looked at it and went, and then I started playing with that and did a diagram of mapping that out. Like in the center is that we had a few staff at that time, and there's a board, and there's all these committees, and I mapped this out within the context of our logo. But it took a couple of years because at that time we had a very small board, small staff, and then there was a few years later where in my own exasperation, always pre-conferences, very, you know, tons of work time, I'm stressed out, I'm overwhelmed with work, go to bed, you know, having those little crying, you know, getting things off your shoulders, crying. I pick up a book and open the middle of the book, and there's a paragraph in it, and it talks about the movie Groundhog Day. And I opened up another book, which also was talking about Groundhog Day, and I went, oh, my God, I'm in this movie, and I got to get out. You know, repeating the same cycle, that same day over and over.
Yeah.
And I realized I needed to step down as executive director. I needed to put this format of circle leadership into place. And I reversed it with a sense of we were always the board chose the next board members. It wasn't a membership that voted in. And I said, we need to reverse this and have things come from the community inward. So I just flipped it from starting from the center and going out to the outside coming in. And that whole flip changed the whole thing, the whole dynamics, and it just came together. Now, it's been 10 years in the working. It's a process. It's on. We don't necessarily study it. There is one book. We have always followed Circle Leadership, some basics through Christina Baldwin's book, Calling the Circle, and that's a great model for, and she does go to corporations and talk too. And there's some aspects there, but we've been developing as we go, and because it's a process. Mm-hmm. And it's a learning process, and it took many years, and we're still going through some amazing things. We just had a huge clearing this last week, because we have built the trust of this circle, and you know, which is inclusive. It's everyone gets to speak their voices, share. We co-create the solutions, and we run into problems because you know, especially. You got me, the founder. You know, I've got strong ideas. You got other people's strong ideas. How do you bring everybody else in who maybe isn't as vocal? We've learned some techniques of, you know, well, let's hear from everybody else. And we've put in some ground rules. We've made a print. We even have a book, a little brochure now on circle leadership. We're now starting a training on circle leadership, our first year. We're going to do a 9-month certification program, meet once a month. We created a healing circle model, which is when we run into problems of, you know, conflict between, kind of start with a couple of people in the council where there's a conflict or one person is having an issue with the council. We created a circle healing model where we created the agenda, we created our ground rules, and it works, where you can actually safely talk about the issue, where everybody can speak what happened to them from their perspective, not you did this to me, but this is what I'm feeling. And it's been amazing because people come away going, oh, my God, everybody needs this, you know, because you feel heard when you're in that situation where it's safe to speak. And and half the problems go away when you just get to speak it and you just feel heard and witnessed.
You're absolutely right. Just being heard and in that container or cauldron of safety, that is so empowering. And you know, many people feel disenfranchised. And when they just, like you said, feel heard, feel safe, you know, listened to, a lot can happen. A lot of transformation can happen. And it seems like it can, the way you're describing it, it can sort of bypass that kind of groupthink atmosphere that, you know, can happen. You know, when I mean, I've seen ideas get so diluted in groupthink that you know, you wonder, like, wait a minute, how did this happen? We had this, you know, kind of great topic or whatever we're going to do, but it gets sort of watered down and washed down. But it sounds like the circle leadership, you know, stays away from that.
And Chris, one
question. I mean, we're not perfect, and it's a process, and we make mistakes, and we have to allow that. Like, so, you know, I get called on my staff, and we come across things where we have to confront people. In a very loving way, and this behavior isn't appropriate, or what is a behavior that is appropriate, you know, and just, but when it's done from that place of love and safety, it can feel heard and embraced, and you know, you can let the tears flow and release that, and it's amazing. We come away from our meetings feeling very excited and energized, where a lot of times, you know, bored, you go to meetings and you just go away feeling drained, like, oh, why am I doing this? And we, you know, we start off with sharing at the beginning, and we create our sacred space by, you know, calling in the directions or lighting candles or whatever. But that's us. Every group can be different in how they do it, because you can create your own principles and your own guiding rules that how you want to operate. And that's the whole beauty of Circle. The circle leadership model is the group decides it. The group creates it. So even when we start this circle leadership course, that group of students and us that are going to share and lead it and teach it or co-lead it, we together with the students are going to create our how are we going to operate as a course during this 9 months. So we're going to model it and do it as we teach this. And, well, you know, it's like a whole new concept of operating. It's not top-down.
It's awesome. Yeah.
And there's nothing like mastering something when you have to teach it. So I'm sure that your understanding of this model will go even deeper.
Well, also, too, Jen, when these women of wisdom, you know, we're always evolving. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's not like it's just this hard and fast thing. This is what's lovely about the, you know, the feminine leadership. It does evolve.
And Chris, is that class going to be online or is it going to be held in Seattle?
It's in person in Seattle. It's our first year doing it. We've had a call and somebody asked about that, and I think we'll be able to develop it as an online. One of the things, it's so in person, it's possible for someone to Skype in, but we're doing a 1 week, in the middle, we're doing a 1 weekend retreat that would be required to, you know, so if someone wanted to come in from another city and Skype in and then come to the retreat, that, you know, that's a possibility. But since it's our first year, we're developing the course as we go. Mm-hmm. I think after that, we'll be able to possibly create something online too, because I can see a big interest for that.
Yeah,
and one of my things that I'm doing and moving forward in my evolution and developing is taking this model and creating a business of my own called Chrysalis Leadership, where taking this to companies. Because people are looking for a new way of doing business. You know, how do we keep our employees? How do we keep people engaged? How do we collaborate? You know, have a collaborative model and because I think women in particular, a lot of people are leaving corporations because it's not serving them. They don't feel valued, and they start their own businesses. So we're seeing what's fallen apart in our society in many levels of institutions, and here's a possibility and place where companies can go and bring elements of this to their business that would create that place where people are feeling valued. And so I'm wanting to consult and do these trainings in businesses. And we've changed at WOW to, like, we've been internalizing our growth, that it's been a personal development. A couple years ago when we did a retreat, we turned outwards that, okay, we've grown this far. This is, I think, a very important thing for women, is when you've done your personal work and you've grown so far, you have to then take it out and share it with others and share your gifts. And so as Women of Wisdom, as an organization, we have turned outward that we want to share, you know, bring this to others.
Mm-hmm. There was that one quote, it's good to be a seeker, but sooner or later you have to be a finder, and then it is well to give what you have found, a gift into the world for whoever will accept it. And that sounds like what you're doing. You mentioned that you had a big clearing this past week or two, and I'd love to find out about that, because, you know, we've got our book out, The Clutterfly Effect, and part of what our belief system is that there has to be this clearing to create, you know, get rid of the old but no longer supports, so that the new can come in. So do you feel like sharing a little bit about the clearing and how it works for you?
I have to think about what I can share because it's very personal, but we had just come across an issue, and it was it's kind of hard for me to share about it. I have to get my head wrapped around that.
Yeah.
but it was really allowing. It was a conflict that's kind of been brewing for a while, and because of certain situations, we have our conference in February. We're dealing with finances, dealing with another organization, that just getting all this information together, that one person who was particularly affected by this, that we hadn't come to a decision on this yet, and on this one topic, and so she was upset, and we had a meeting, and we just got really just openly shared of the various things that happen in our, and there's different feelings and different perspectives on this topic that people got to share very openly.
I think
we needed this time, you know, to get to that place to be able to share this. It wouldn't have happened 6 months ago, but.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And see, that really is, when you say that's a clearing, I mean, you can get that up and out, and it doesn't sit someplace and fester and get triggered. And, you know, this is hopeful, you know, when you can clear out and then make room for that. We kind of call it, you know, clearing, being in the void, creating a void so that, you know, nature can, or the universe can fill it for different things that you want, you know, so.
Yeah, and so we're learning, and we're learning how to be more in the moment, to, instead of waiting, but sometimes things take time. Sometimes people process it. Everybody processes different, and some people process slower, that in the moment, in the meeting, they may not realize what they're feeling in their gut. They go home, and the next day, you know, they realize, oh, my God, that really made me angry. And And just to be more present and being aware and slowing down a little bit so those feelings can come up and knowing you can we can come back to them and discuss them that, you know, it's,
So I'm going to ask you this question then, because I know you also have another, you have a healing circle model that you use to resolve conflicts. Maybe you use that for this clearing. But can you share a little bit about the healing circle model with our lovelies before you leave?
Well, it's I mean, we've set the agenda where first we create the sacred space.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I don't have the material right in front of me. I wasn't expecting to talk about this, but that's fine. And so we create the safety. And we create a sharing where everybody goes around and shares where they're at in the moment. And we might call in the directions or whatever. But we're setting, what the purpose is setting the sacred space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and don't have to go any further than that, because Christine, Marie, and I, as mother and daughter, when we have conflicts or anything going on,
anything we do,
we set the sacred space. And just by doing that alone, setting the intention, creating the sacred space, there is an amazing amount of sweetness and grace that floods the situation that makes it able to resolve at a higher level.
Yeah. And just it's like a shift that happens.
Yeah, and the other thing that we do, it's a talking circle where we pass the stick, talking stick or a stone or something around, and everyone gets to share, and that's the one, you know, there's no interruptions, they have the floor, they get to share, and you just, you keep, it's kind of like going down a spiral, you keep going around and around and get to deeper levels of the topic of whatever it is you need to resolve.
Oh, Chris, I got to share a story with you really quick, because, Mom, this, I don't know if you remember this or not, but there was a time when we were growing up that you had this talking stick, and we would have family meetings all the time in our family growing up, and my brother and I, my dad and Mom, you say, okay, you can only talk when you held the talking stick. And it's so funny because now that I see that in TV once in a while, and you know, it's just, it's so cute, but it works so well because sometimes you just want to be heard, but we can't all be heard at the same time. And so it's just a nice friendly reminder, hey, can't talk unless you have the stick. And we'll all listen to you, but you just can't do unless you have the stick.
And then within that, what I find and one of my gifts is I can see usually it's something we haven't had, as far as an organization, we haven't had a process in place. We haven't had some procedures. And so we'll do a parking lot, like we'll make notes, we'll have an easel up on the pad up on the board, and you know, we'll write down, oh, we need to work on this. These are the issues coming up from this healing circle. And then later we can go back and start, or in the moment, I mean, we might create some solutions in the moment that's important. But we might like put it on a park, what you call a parking lot, and go, okay, we're gonna deal with this at our next meeting, and deal with, look at what we need to do here as far as setting up a procedure or setting up policy, because usually these things just happen because there isn't clarity or there's not communication.
Right, exactly. Now I just want to say that you can go to womenofwisdom.org. to see this amazing foundation, all the work they do. You also can make a donation to the foundation. Support this wonderful foundation. It really is about, you know, shining a light on women's gifts and developing these feminine abilities even deeper and celebrating women. And I love that.
Yes. And I love, too, the fact that, Chris, you know, unabashedly you celebrate women. You open the energy to collaborate with women. I know that, you know, you just say yes, and that feels so welcoming and so opening. So kudos to you on that.
Well, thank you. And can I just take a moment, and I want to mention that there is a book I wrote and edited and collaborated at Women of Wisdom, and it's a compilation of some of our talks at the conference and people's stories and participants and also art and poetry from of the Divine Feminine. And so it's a great compilation of many, many voices and of the Divine Feminine and Woman of Wisdom. And it's a great book to kind of dive in. And you almost feel like you almost feel like you're at a conference.
Now, can they get that at your website or Amazon?
Yes, it's on our website at Women of Wisdom, and then, of course, it's on Amazon. But it supports Women of Wisdom more if you buy it from our website.
Good.
And it's right there. You just got to click on books, right in the top.
There's a page called Products. It's under the Products page. Yes.
Yes, Products and Services right there. But very, very cool. So you can sign up also for your for the e-newsletter right there on the website as well. Well, I want to thank you, Chris, for being on Life with a Girlfriend. It's so informative, and also just such a sweet energy you have, especially this Mother's Day, celebrating whether you're a mother or a daughter. It's a great time to celebrate being a woman. Mm. So what a fun conversation we've had with you
thank
today.
Thank you so much, Chris. We had a joy. We had a blast.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
Have a great day.
Okay, thanks.
Mama, I love this. I love Women of Wisdom Foundation.
Me too. Doesn't it just feel good to talk about it?
It does. And I always want to say this. It's only a plane ride to Seattle.
That's true.
And maybe not this first year, because it's just starting in like 2 weeks, their conference on this Circle Leadership Group.
Oh, the leadership, yeah.
And I'm
hoping that
next year, I would just say, you know what? I'm going to plan for it. I'm going to fly in once a month. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Or that conference would be awesome, too.
And I would love to go to that in February.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter where you live in the States or anywhere, Seattle has this great little pocket of just mild temperature. It might be 45 degrees in the middle of February, which to me is lovely.
Yes. Let's face it, 45 is like balmy here.
Yeah, exactly. For February, that's awesome.
I mean, it's May, and it was like 40 degrees this morning when we woke up. So that's kind of cray-cray.
It's cray-cray, but at least it wasn't freezing, and we had our plants, our hibiscus plants, survive the night, and that's a good thing.
Yes.
You know, we're going to talk a little bit right now. We're going to do a little mother-daughter talking, and we're also going to talk about our Clutterfly Effect Festival Days coming up, which is next weekend.
Wait, what did you say? Clutterfly Effect Festival Days?
Festival Days.
OMG, shut the front door.
And guess what?
What?
There's no plane needed to get there.
No.
It's on your phone. It's on the web.
It's on the pewter?
It's on the pewter, as Mom likes to say. It's a little apostrophe pewter. That's how you talk it. You don't do rabbit ears, you do your little apostrophe sign.
Right, that's right.
Apostrophe pewter.
That's right. And it's May 17th through the 21st.
Yes. And I'm just going to do a shout-out real quick. I'm going to do a little personal commercial right now because we're launching our book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life.
So this is our commercial.
Yes, it is.
Da-da-da-da. Sunday. Go ahead.
And we're going to start off by on Friday. Mm-hmm. We're going to meet together through the computer at 7 o'clock or on the phone, 7 p.m. Central Time, for a wonderful, we call Amp It Up session. And where we go.
Julie? Yes. What's Amp It Up?
Amp It Up is where we go together and we go to that field of pure potentiality. And we set the intention in that field. And we do it in a group setting. It's amazing what percolates and the energy that just like goes boom. And we call it amp it up because we're amped
up. I like to think of it as being a master gardener. You know, a master gardener can't create a beautiful garden unless the master gardener plants seeds first.
Yes.
So I like to think of us as seed planters.
Okay, awesome. Like Johnny Appleseed planting seeds. You know, and so what seeds will you be planting during that half hour? And it's a great meditation visualization. And join us, and you can sign up by going to theclutterflyeffect.com, signing up right there. And then on Saturday and Sunday, this coming Saturday and Sunday, pretty darn awesome thing. We have what we call Clearing the Clutter Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And from
and we have this. We used to have it just once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so now but this weekend we're having it on Saturday and Sunday.
And what we do is at this time, we meet at the top of every hour for about 5 or 10 minutes. And
from 9 to 12.
9 to 12 a.m. Central Time.
Right.
And we do a little setting of the intention, doing a little energetic clearing, and then we get loose and we clean something. And I'm not saying dusting. You could if you want, but the way I look at it is use this group energy to clean away some clutter that would really catapult your life.
Like we've had ladies who have wanted to create a corner in a room that has great light to do painting, or creating, you know, a place to write their novel.
Yeah.
You know, do something awesome like
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
You know?
I love it.
And you know, but it's okay to clean out a junk drawer, too.
Exactly. And what you'll be amazed about is how quick things go when you do it in a group setting.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy is just so, we talk a little bit about that as well, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, if you can't decide, let it go. Just let it be and come back to it.
We put on a little rock and roll music.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. We'll have a little fun time.
Mm-hmm.
And so then also then on Monday night at 7 p.m. Central
what
time,
happens then?
You are going to be able to experience our new drip meditation.
D-R-I-P. Deeply Relaxed Intention Process.
Yes.
Okay, again, I'm going to say this. Bring some Elmer's glue because your socks are going to get blown off.
That's right.
If you don't have your socks glued to your cap.
And really, we call this Deeply Relaxed Intention Process because when you're able to relax, you are open to change. And you can feel that, right? You know that when you're not relaxed, you're tight. Ugh. Every change feels like you're being hit by a bulldozer. But when you're relaxed, you're open to change. And when you're open to change, you are open to healing in any situation. And then when you're open to healing, you are there for transformation. And so it really does start with this being relaxed. And by doing that with the intention, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Like Mom says, socks off. Socks will be blown off.
And did, by any chance, did you mention that during this time, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, people are going to be getting gifts?
No, I did not.
Yeah, well.
I'm doing it now. You're doing it now
just
for
now.
Me.
Just,
we have the Clutterfly Effect tote bag. It's beautiful. It's huge, by the way.
Can I say, you know, here's what I want to say about that tote bag. Two words.
What?
Jumbo.
Jumbo.
Yes.
Okay, good. Jum and bow.
Yes.
Okay, got it. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
Did you have a picture of it?
I do, but and it'll be on our blog. So if you go to our blog, ChristineMarieAngeli.com, you'll see it right there tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Or later tonight, depending on when I get it up. Probably tomorrow morning, be best bet. and so forth. But and then, you know, drum roll, please.
Tuesday, May 21st, the launch of the Clutterfly Effect book, 9 a.m. through 9 p.m., 12 hours of fun, fabulosity.
Yes.
And gifts, prizes, bonuses.
Yes.
Over 30 bonuses, over 20 bonuses.
Yes.
And we're still making the bonuses.
We are.
We are. Yeah.
It's really cool. And
can I mention two words?
Yes.
Wallace Waddles.
Okay. Wallace Waddles. You know, I like
that's
his
all,
name.
No, don't say anything more.
Okay.
Don't give it away.
All right. It's not what you think.
Okay.
It's amped up Wallace Waddles.
Okay.
Amped up Wallace Waddles.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like his name.
Is Wallace Waddles on steroids?
It is, and it's his book, The Science Getting Rich. It's amped up. Don't think you just get a PDF. That's not it.
No.
At all.
Oh, hell no.
That's not what we do here.
Heck no.
But anyway, it's very interesting because I love his name because it's like a name. Yeah, it's like Wallace and a verb. Wallace Waddles.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
He kind of just waddles around. But it's a TT, not a DD, but it's...
Oh, well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I get it, though.
I get it.
You get it.
I get it.
And so if you purchase a book, and I know you will, on Tuesday.
May 21st.
Yes.
9 a.m.
to 9
p.m.
You get all these bonuses, but you also get entered into the drawing to receive a free Kindle and a free Amazon gift card, $50. So it's an amazing
how
time.
Much?
50,
how much?
50.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
I agree.
Too generous.
So I'm just saying, if you like to play the lottery and you like having those odds, my God. You must think this is a gift and a half to have these kinds of odds to win a Kindle and a $50 gift card to, you know, Amazon plus our tote bag,
all the bonuses.
OMG.
Come on. So now is that our commercial?
That was our commercial.
Because Chris has commercials. She said she has commercials on our radio station.
Yes, and we may eventually, but I just kind of like to be.
We'll do our own commercial.
Well, we do, yes, but we like. You know,
okay, let me ask you a question, though.
Sure.
If you could have some sponsors, who would they be?
Good question. I mean, if it's not, can't be us.
No, I mean, let's just put it out there.
I mean,
I'm feeling an automobile. I'm feeling an automobile.
Well, I do like that Volkswagen, the new Volkswagen. I like them both.
Yeah.
I like the Bug, and I like the I like their new hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the Passat. I think it's the Jetta, but I'm not 100% sure.
They still make the Jetta?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so you want a Volkswagen commercial.
The Lincoln commercials are pretty hot, too.
Yeah, I'm feeling like a department store like Macy's.
Okay.
Or even Target.
Yes.
That wouldn't be bad.
And maybe M&M's. I'm just saying, I have chocolate.
Your favorite.
I like chocolate. You know, I like some chocolate once in a while.
Or Reese's peanut butter.
Exactly.
That wouldn't be bad either.
So you can go to clutterflyeffect.com, though, and sign up to get involved with next weekend. It's a fun time. Really take this time to really clear some clutter.
Yes.
And jumpstart your summer.
Yeah.
And it's a cool, and get some spring cleaning done. The real fun time.
The real spring cleaning.
Yes.
That's interior.
And so being
not exterior.
I'm going to take this as a transitional time.
Okay.
When you talk about Wallace Wattles.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about Mother's Day and how I want to celebrate all the mothers and daughters out there.
Yes.
And we sent an email today saying Happy Mother's Day, and you had talked about. We interviewed it a couple weeks ago.
It was an audio email.
Yes, it was.
It's a postcard.
Yeah, a postcard. But we interviewed Joanna Poppins, and she talked about holding hands with your mother and how that's a great way of enhancing your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that all the time. I'm not saying we're attached to each other's hands
24/7. Oh, disclaimer.
Disclaimer.
Gosh,
but
really?
I hold your hand.
Yes, you do.
And I remember the times I used to hold my grandmother's hand
mm-hmm.
and in the car. And, you know, she was in her 60s, and I remember her hand being, for lack of a better word, poofy. You know, the older our hands get, the more character they got. And I just remember loving her hands as a
mm-hmm.
young woman. I'm like a young girl, you know. And it's like, mm-hmm. I love my grandmother's hands. And she just let me hold it while she drove. And it was so much fun. And I have such fond memories of that. And I remember her, Joanna, talking about holding hands is important. And so in our Mother's Day audio postcard to the lovelies, we mentioned, hey, can you, you know, if you're around your mom a day in the physical plane, hold your mom's hand. And if you're not, you know, maybe hold it across the ether. I don't know the exact poetic words
you said, hold her hand in your heart.
Hold your hand.
Yeah.
And we had so many lovelies respond back saying,
yeah.
Oh, I did it today with my mom who crossed over.
Yeah.
And it was such a sweet time because sometimes we forget we connect across that plane. And just this idea of holding hands is a wonderful way to get connected with your mom again.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if mothers remember their daughters' hands, but I know daughters really remember their mom's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's because of like, is that what my hand's going to look like? You know? But I know your hand well.
You know, I remember my mom spent many years in the nursing home, but she always would say to us when she was, you know, lucent that I want somebody to hold my hand when I die. You know? And we would never have guessed the day she was going to die, but she went into the hospital, and they go, oh, she's going to maybe get better. She's coming back to the nursing home, you know. And we were just all drained and exhausted, and you were in one car, and I was in a different car, and we got the call. They go, no, we think she's going now. We think she's going in. And we just raced back, you know, to make sure that, you know, and you got there first. And when I got there, you were holding her hand, and I was just so touched and pleased that, you know, that we were able to hold her hand, you know, when she passed, because that was the one thing that she always said that she wanted, you know. So there's a lot of holding hand energy today, huh?
Yes, there is. And I'm crying because you didn't tell me you were going to tell that story. You're always holding something back, girlfriend. Hey, it's live TV or live radio. That's what it is.
Well, you can tell a story on me then.
Okay, I will. Well, I was thinking about today about, you know, if I could give anybody tips about how to have a better relationship with your mom or and mothers with their daughters, and no matter where you are at in that spectrum, you can always have a little better one. And I was thinking about this idea of having more fun.
Mm-hmm.
The more fun you can put into your relationship and the more you're just able to laugh, when times get tough, and they do, when conflicts arise, and they do, when you just feel, especially if you're close to your mom in proximity or whatever, you know, sometimes you're just crabby. And with our mothers, we kind of let it all hang out sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see us at our best and our worst. But the more fun you can put into your life with your relationship, those other times when things are a little bit stressful or tight,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter as much. And we were, can I just please say the bonus for Wallace Wattles?
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
Well, we're giving the audio version. We're doing the audio version of Wallace Wattles, The Science of Getting Rich.
And it was written in 1910.
Yes. And it is one of the number one, I think it's a number one downloadable self-help book of that time. I don't know, not of that time download.
It's
but
got
now,
some kind of.
It's got a big title, yeah. You know. And so we want to do an audio version of it because we believe in that time, no extra time. So in your car, you can listen to it. Anywhere as you do your walking, you can listen to it. And it was a great time, except that when we started reading the book, and we've read the book before, it was hilarious.
We were laughing till the tears ran down our legs. It was funny.
It was so funny.
Because
I
of the language.
And he was talking about these industries of, like, you know, you may not be able to get rich on the railroad industry because that is monopolized. Mm-hmm. But the electric train industry, now that might work. Mm-hmm. Or now just hold your horses. Or what about aerial transportation?
Right.
Like, and I'm like, and he goes, millions upon millions might be employed by that someday. You can get into that now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, and I just couldn't
stop
laughing.
And then he talked about if you can find your 10 acres, you'll be able to grow foodstuffs.
Yeah.
Foodstuffs. For industry.
Oh.
And, okay, you know, but here's the thing. We had to stop at least a dozen times because we were just beating our pants.
Oh,
it was
God.
So funny. However, once we got through, like, to page 15, 20,
yes.
There was some really good pearls of wisdom.
And I have read this book before, and I knew it. But when you hear it out loud, it does go deeper inside
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, this is great. This is awesome. Oh, I see where I don't hold the vision consistently enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't believe in going bigger sometimes. I have that belief of kind of like, well, maybe I need to pull back
mm-hmm.
instead of going bigger.
Yes.
And so it was really nice to do the audio. But we allowed ourselves to laugh.
To have fun.
Even though it was a job, we were doing a job.
Yeah.
Even though it was taking more time,
mm-hmm.
we allowed ourselves to laugh. And I will have a memory of that forever.
Speaking of memories, I want to tell a quick story about my mom.
Sure, girlfriend.
And I can't remember how old I was, but probably maybe like in third grade or something. And it was during the time that my brothers had their hair like in a crew cut or something, and they had this like jar of stuff that was called butch wax. And I was so jealous. They got to put this butch wax on their hair every single day to make that stand straight up, you know. So one evening, it was a Sunday evening, I got into the butch wax. And I came down and I was a grease ball, let's just face it. It was just hugely, I tried to make it stand up, but it wouldn't do it. My hair was too long. So I came down, and, of course, my mom noticed. She said, what the hell did you do? And I said, well, I wanted to try their butch wax. And she goes, and I go, can I wash my hair? She goes, you only take one bath a week, and that's on Saturday nights, and that was yesterday. You are going to have that hair all week long. Okay? So it was kind of embarrassing because I had to, I mean, I tried to put it back in a ponytail. I think I put a headband on it. I did anything to try and, you know, the grease just kept getting more and more and more. So about 3 weeks later, report cards came out, you know. And I'd gotten good grades. You know, I'm always a decent student. But on the other side of the report card, you know, where it talks about your character and emotional stuff, it said something about, fail something about is not careful of personal appearance, and there was a great big check mark there. OMG. So, you know, brought the report card home, and my mom saw that check mark, and she was just livid. She was livid,
mm-hmm.
and you know my mom,
yeah,
right? She could get livid, and she was, you have clean socks every day, clean underpants. How dare those nuns do this to you? What the hell? And you know, I just like, I don't know what's
sure
going on.
I'm sure swear words come out of her mouth, too.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Exactly.
<What the hell? laughs>
And so she goes, I'm calling that nun. I'm going to call that principal. I'm going to see what this is all about because this is ridiculous. I iron your blouses and everything. So, you know, she called. And they were saying, well, you know, there was this 1 week where she had the greasiest hair. And we talked about it, and we could not, you know, let that go. It had to have that check mark there, you know.
Oh, how funny.
I thought it was kind of funny because even now, as I remember this, it was like mom got kind of hoisted on her own petard.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it was painful.
She should have let me wash my hair, but Oh, no.
Well, that does seem crazy, though. I know grandmother, and I loved her to pieces, but she probably struggled with it because there's probably part of her that was like, I'm going to make her pay, you know, and then the other part was, you know, she does represent the family, and can I allow her to go out like this?
I'm sure she was torn, but
yeah.
But you know what? You can only have one bath a week during that time, you know, and
isn't
that's
that
on
the
Saturday
funniest
night.
Thing in the
yeah.
world?
Yeah.
Now we're like, you get a bath every night.
Yeah.
When did that change?
I don't know.
What marketing did that happen? I know. It was the soap market. It was the shampoo people. Johnson's & Johnson's baby yeah. shampoo said, no, once a week ain't going to pull it for
no,
you. We
got
to have
right.
we have to have growth in our
in
business.
In fact, they invented a daily shampoo.
Exactly. A daily shampoo?
Oh,
shut the front door. No way. A daily shampoo. I do not doubt that there was some kind of marketing campaign behind it. Just like the diamond industry, you know, you need to spend 2 months of salary for your diamond ring. Really? Really? When did that happen? Where did I miss that? You know, where did that come from?
So, Julia, do you have a story to tell about me
as
a mama?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this because I also like, you know, I hope that this could help mothers in their family life now. But growing up, we had chores to do. We had not lots of chores to do.
Because you're living on the farm.
We had a lot of chores, girlfriend. But no, we just always called it chores. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But we used to get made fun of in school because we used to call housework chores.
Mm-hmm.
But you always made it a contest. And you would always have like little time stamps on it. Like you have 1 minute and you give my brother a chore and you give me a chore. And they'd be small, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, collect all clothes from this room or all dirty clothes from there mm-hmm. or make this bed. And sometimes we have a contest who got back first, or you'd have like a time stamp. Like if you get back in this time, you get 1 point. If you get back in this time, you get 2 points. If you don't, you get 0 points. And it was so much fun, but we got housework done.
Right.
And there was no really fighting about it. It
right.
was just, it was a big contest.
And it wasn't drudgery.
It wasn't. I remember watching my little niece, Lillian, about a month ago, and I was over at her house, and she's only 2 and a half, and she had all her balls out, all those small little balls that kids would play with. And I'm like, you know what? The parents are going to be coming home soon, my brother. I like to at least look at it, look like it was kind of cleaned up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to play basketball with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, Lillian, let's throw the ball into the bag. And literally when I'm saying 100, I think that's exactly how many there were. It says
mm-hmm.
100 balls in this big, huge bag. And so we did it one at a time. And she'd throw it, and I'd catch it in the bag, and we'd clap. And we got the house cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it in joy, not out of drudgery or
yes.
like,
yes.
even at 2 and a half, like, you're going to clean this mess up, young lady,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, wait a minute, things that need to get done can be done in joy. And so I want to say with all the mothers out there, you really are the driving force of the energy in your family. And at least that's how it was in our family. And so I know that you can make it fun. And if you're not making it fun, you can choose to make it fun now.
You know, Jill, you mentioned the small balls, you know, from
mm-hmm.
Lillian.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say, do you know why mice have such small balls?
No.
Not very many of them know how to dance.
I kept, yeah, so funny as heck. I kept going through my memory bank, like, what is that punchline? I know this punchline.
Well, you said small balls, and I can't let you go without
no,
saying
you can't,
the joke.
And I can't think of balls without thinking of that AC/DC song, you know? Is it AC/DC
no.
song? It's like, we all have balls,
oh,
police, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got big balls.
Okay, that's our Happy Mother's Day
yeah.
show. we're gonna land and end on balls.
Yes, there's all kinds of balls out there. There's dancing balls, and
mm-hmm.
you know, on Wipeout they have the big red balls.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of balls out
mm-hmm.
there,
and there's big balls and small balls.
Eggs, lots of balls.
Yes, then there's the Cinderella ball.
You know. Yes, and I just want to say, too.
There's the Lance Armstrong ball.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Sorry,
Lance.
Yes.
I got your. I wear your Livestrong yellow band. I'm there for you, Stu.
And I know that you don't hold against him all that other stuff.
No.
Because I just assumed. I'm just. I'm always shocked now when people are like, can you believe it? I'm like, really? When did we
really?
Not? Really?
Really? Is this your first rodeo? Really?
That athletes take performance-enhancing drugs? Really? When did we not think of this?
Yeah, exactly. Excuse me.
If there's performance enhancing anything to have, you know, for athletes, they're going to start taking it, you know?
And I'm sure it wasn't just the first place guys. It was the second and the third and the fourth.
And that last guy goes, gosh, you know, I'm training like a banshee and I'm all natural. Maybe this isn't working for me.
I'm all natural.
Yeah, maybe I have to start calling them in, you know? Forget that. I'm going to start making some phone calls. This is nuts. This is nuts.
Julie, we had a nice little segue here. On our Mother's Day.
We want to wish everyone a lovely, lovely Mother's Day. We also want to say go to theclutterflyeffect.com, theclutterflyeffect.com, to sign up for our Clutterfly Festival.
Yeah,
weekend.
Play our trailer, play our book trailer. Mm-hmm. And we also have Karen Drucker, who sings the Clutterfly Effect anthem for us. Hopefully you can find that. I don't know if it's on the front page or not, but it's called One Small Step.
One Small Step. I love that song. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. And so it's just been a hoot working with you, girlfriend, on this book, on this launch.
Yes.
And also by the purchase of the book, you also get access to the free membership site, which has a lot of meditations in it, visualizations, and some success worksheets, which is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a great way of saying, you know what, it's time for me, and I'm worth it.
And, you know, it is about community, and it's about getting support. And I'll tell you what, I'm tired of these people that charge huge amounts of stuff, you know, dollars, I mean, to get their stuff. You know,
right.
It's just crazy.
Yes, I agree.
Are you going to sing out with me, honey?
I am going to sing out.
Ready?
I guess so. Are we ready to sing out, girlfriend?
I don't know. I think so.
All right. Let's play our. Let's start singing our lovely song. And lovely girlfriends, great to see you. Great to have you on the radio tonight, everyone.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Everybody needs
a good girlfriend. Whatever.
Have a great night, everyone.
Okay.
Happy Mother's Day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A good girlfriend is a comforting hand to hold. Everybody needs a good girlfriend with a heart of gold.